Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. Right, I'm delighted to say that this episode I'm joined by Ros Jones. And Ros is basically going to teach me how important change is for growth. And I'm really looking forward to this discussion, Ros, because I think it kind of ticks a lot of boxes in thinking things that interest me in personal development and all that kind of thing. In fact, you can just see over my shoulder the word growth. I've just realised that's there for people who are watching it on the video. So it's really important to me. So before we go into that, Ros, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself and kind of what you do, and then we'll kind of have that discussion all about growth.
Thanks, Mike. Yes, Ros Jones, I am a coach. Coaching and personal development is what I'm all about. So I'm a business coach, basically.
Excellent. So I guess the probably nice, simple way to start with, you know, what do we mean by change for growth? What does that mean, I guess, especially in your world? What does that mean, and what probably mean to the people listening?
Yeah, so nobody likes change. Very few people like change. And what we do is we stay in what we call the comfort zone. The comfort zone is the things that we do every day, usually on autopilot. They've become habits we just do over and over again. And so if you stay in that comfort zone, doing the things over and over, same things over and over again, of course, nothing grows. So we need to get out of that comfort zone in order to get any change, which will instigate the growth, whether that's in ourselves or in business. So we need to get out of that comfort zone, and that's the change. And a lot of people are afraid to get out of that comfort zone. It's a bit too scary. Even if the life we have inside the comfort zone isn't actually that comfortable, it's too scary to get out of it. And it's getting out of it that will that is vital for growth.
Yeah, it's sometimes kind of like the better you devil you know type of attitude, isn't it? Slightly unhappy or slightly uncomfortable about this thing, but at least I know this thing. What kind of, it'd be interesting to have examples of what you've seen from people, or you know of people where they have changed, and what it's helped them do, and how it's made them grow, I guess.
Yeah, so the easiest way to implement change for growth is to do it in small steps, because if you have this enormous vision, this wonderful vision you want to go to, but it's so big, it's so scary, how ever am I going to do that? What I say to people is, actually, every day, stand on the edge of your comfort zone and just do something different. Just something, it could just be something small, because, and the way you have to do this, you have to actually become conscious first. As I said, 60% of our days are spent unconsciously just doing the same things over and over. And a nice example is, and you can do this tomorrow yourself, Mike, if you wear socks, that is.
I'm up for it.
The smallest change you could make is being conscious when you go to put on your socks. Because you will do this unconsciously every day, I'm sure, and you'll just do it automatically. And if I say to you now, which sock do you put on first, you probably couldn't tell me. It's probably your left foot that you put in your sock first. But tomorrow, I want you to stop. Just as you're about to put, if you're wearing socks, just as you're about to do it, stop and be aware and just do it differently, do it in a different order. And then you've done something different for the day. So and it will be uncomfortable when you do it as well. You might even fall over if you're standing up and you do it. So it's just doing something different every day that will help you change what you're doing. And inevitably, you will become more conscious. So you're more aware of the things that the bad, or that the not so helpful habits that are holding you back, and it will just help you become more aware and make it easier to change. And some of the, you asked for examples. Well, when people come to me, they come to me because they're stuck or they want to grow themselves or their business, but they don't know how to, it's too scary. And we come up with some ideas, and sometimes I found people won't do it. So they say they want to grow the business, but the thing they said they're going to do, they won't do it because it's too scary. So that's an example of where it holds you back. And of course, when you actually become conscious and think about where you want to go and you break it down into small steps and you get somebody to help you do it, the changes can be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. You know, I worked with a guy who, he came to me, he'd never taken a holiday or never felt able to take a holiday for more than 1 week at a time. In 20 years he'd been in business. And then within 6 weeks, just by the changes he made, he was able to go away to take his twins away for 3 weeks before they went up to university. And that was just in 6 weeks because he'd started changing and growing. So the changes are phenomenal.
Absolutely. I think it's important to say, isn't it, that growth can mean different things in different contexts. You know, I think often in business, obviously, when we use the word growth, it's kind of essentially revenue and numbers, and or it might be growth of a membership or whatever it might be, that sort of. But I think there's that, personal growth, quite frankly, is probably the thing, actually, especially if you're a small business owner, it's just in you or just a very short number of people. Actually, if you can grow yourself, the converse of that is probably business will grow too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think growing your business for the sake of growing your business, just like wanting more money, that's not what I mean by growth, because that, you know, it's like there's a great book out called The Donut Economics, and which talks about how we've consistently measured ourselves by GDP, and the impact that that's had on the planet is just like not a helpful way of going forward, and it's not sustainable, and we all know that now. So when I talk about growth, I do mean growth as an individual. So I do feel that that's our purpose, is to grow and to help each other to grow, and the way to do that is by getting out of your comfort zone and learning new stuff and implementing it.
Yeah, and I think going back to that kind of the small steps thing that you mentioned a minute or two ago, I don't know, this is my experience, I guess, and I don't know if everyone else is saying this. I know sometimes when I'm in business, I get maybe that feeling of overwhelm because I look at the big step and forget about the little steps to get there. Yeah. Whereas in other areas of my life, so I've run a marathon last year. I didn't get overwhelmed by thinking I've got to go from this stage to running 26 miles. Okay, I'm going to be able to do 5K, 10K, I had a plan for that almost not quite daily, but weekly actually, and you know, getting slightly better every week. And that's essentially what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think sport is a great analogy actually for business as well. And I absolutely agree with you. So when I started long distance running, what I did was I was aiming for half marathon, actually, not a marathon, but to get better at that, I ran 10 minutes longer every single week. Okay. And each time was uncomfortable because it, like, muscle soreness and that kind of stuff. But each week I was getting stronger. So I was just getting out of my comfort zone each week and getting stronger until you could achieve your goal. So I think absolutely training in for sport is a great analogy for business too. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and one thing I have, I'm just thinking about it then, actually, I realised, you know, personal development is a big thing for me, and I like learning, and I like listening to things that kind of feed the good habits and all that kind of stuff. And I think a few years ago, if you'd asked me about that type of world, I'd have thought about, you know, getting a degree in a certain subject, or, you know, and again, quite a big target. Whereas what I do now is I listen to podcasts, or I listen to audiobooks, and I will do, it might be half an hour a day, an hour a day. And I think I get a lot more from that than kind of, again, forget about the bid. I guess talking about growth as being a journey rather than a destination. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might have a destination and you might have a goal that you want to achieve. Absolutely. But it's about not being fixated on that destination to the detriment of everything else. So enjoying your daily learning, absolutely. And sometimes I start working with people and I'm a big believer. So I can teach. I teach, obviously, a lot of stuff. But I want the person to be up for teaching their own self-learning. So I'm a big believer in books, as you say, or listening to stuff as well. And sometimes people say, I've never read a book before. But by, you know, within a few months of working together, they've learned so much by the books that I've shared with them and given them. So, yeah, I'm a big believer in doing that 30 minutes of reading a day, maybe actually the 30-10-5 rule, which I actually learned from a book. I can't remember which one. So here's what you do. 30 minutes, you read a book. Then you take 10 minutes to write about the closure book, write about some stuff that you've just learned, and then take 5 minutes to pass it on to somebody else in the day to embed what you, yeah, you know, that way you share what you've learned and it helps you by teaching it, you embed it as well. So that's the 30-10-5 rule. Learn something today, Mike, perhaps.
No, that is great. I probably never thought about that formally, but I know I often do that. I'll talk about something I've heard on a podcast or in a book, and I do that, not formally, but doing it that way is obviously really simplifies it, and that makes sense. And I think, well, you know, there's various good and bad things about the modern world, but there's been no easier time than there is right now to be able to get really good content, and actually, in most cases, for free as well. I mean, I use podcasts there, or really inexpensive as well. You can get, you know, it wasn't that long ago where to get content, you had to pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time. And we are quite lucky right now. If all you did was listen to podcasts, you would learn a lot if you got in the right ways. And then, so there's kind of no excuses, I guess.
No excuses. No, we don't do excuses.
So within that as well, I guess, you know, we talked about growth of development, but how does well-being fit into that? I know that's a big area for yourself as well. How does well-being fit into all that?
Yeah, so that's great. Thank you for asking that, Mike. So this goes back to the growth for growth's sake. So when I started my business, which was quite a few years ago now, I was determined to, I'd walked away from a job that I didn't like. I didn't have to leave, I just walked away, but I earned a lot of money. So my decision was to, as quickly as I could, to match or exceed the salary I'd walked away from. And so I just went for the sales. And I got some sales, but, you know, in the cycle of business where you go up and down, I basically burnt myself out doing that. And so I realized that there's more to life than just growth for sales. And so what I came up with, through a lot of thinking and looking at my own experience and that of the clients I was working with, I came up with this whole idea of business well-being, where actually, if you look after other areas of your life and in your life and your business, then the sales will just follow. So, yeah, I came up with this wonderful 5 principles of business well-being. Shall I share them with you?
Oh, please. And I'm pen and paper, and I'm ready for this, Ross.
Cool. So it's not rocket science, and you probably do this already, but for me, it was like, it gave me really great clarity, and I teach this stuff, but it's not rocket science. But like all of these things, you know, if you know it but you're not doing it, then you might as well not know it. Okay.
Yeah.
The first principle is building and nurturing relationships, whether that's with your family, your friends, your suppliers, your clients, just business contacts out there generally. Number 2 is taking personal responsibility for your health and well-being, whether that's your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health, whatever. But we need to be in tip-top condition unless we risk burning out, stressing out, and having no business. And we encourage other people in our team to do the same. Number 3 is learn and grow, which is what this is all about. Yep. We have to take some time to learn and grow, because if you don't, you know, the easiest way to grow is to learn new stuff and implement it. And as you said, the easiest way to learn new stuff is to read. And then number 4 is having an abundant mindset. And by that, it means different things to different people. But for me, abundance is about knowing there's enough for everybody. There's plenty out there. It's about wanting to, it's not about competing. It's about collaboration. It's about supporting each other. It's about being grateful, all those juicy things. And then number 5 is having fun. Because having fun is something that makes everything worthwhile, but it's something that we sometimes forget to do. And it can be very easy not to have fun, but it's very easy to have fun. So everything is fun. And what's fun gets done. They're the five principles of business well-being. And if you do something out of those every single day, the sales will follow. That's my guarantee.
I love that, Rosalind. It kind of really resonates with me, actually. I'm kind of going through that list. And I think like most people, you go through times when you're better at it than not and various other things. But I think, you know, generally speaking, like the whole kind of like building a community and being around people, well, that's kind of the nature of what I do. So I'm kind of very lucky in that. It kind of comes almost naturally. Health, I mean, personally, pretty much every day I start my day with exercise. That's a physical thing, but for me, actually, it's just as much, if not more, a mental benefit I get from that. It's almost kind of clear your head time. Yeah. For me, I zone out to the world type of time, and I know other people might meditate or do other things like that. That like kind of feels like, for me, that's my form of meditation, and I've enjoyed that. Learning and growing, I know that I've gone through spells in my life where I don't do as much of that as I should do, and the difference it makes, kind of motivation and all that kind of stuff. You know, I often talk to people about kind of feeding the brain regularly, and I think that's rather than reading one book over 2 days and then not doing anything for 2 months, I would rather listen to 20 minutes a day or whatever it might be. That I benefit of that. Abundant mindset, I mean, that's a really, I think that's one, again, up and down on that one. But the last one is interesting to me, having fun, because I talk to other people about that, but I know I don't do that enough.
I forget that.
So that's the one I'm underlining.
Yes.
Remind myself to have fun with it. I would imagine my personal gut feeling is that probably a lot of people like me would, the first four will, they'll be better or worse than others. But generally speaking, might do okay, at least at times with that one. But that's the one we maybe sometimes forget.
Yeah, and here's a tip for you, Mike. So now you've committed to doing that. At the end of every day, ask yourself, what did I do today to have fun?
Yeah.
And then just reflect, and you'd be surprised, actually. I'm sure you smiled at somebody, made somebody laugh.
I know I will have fun each day, pretty much. I know I will. I think it's sometimes that I forget that.
Yeah.
So that's probably what that was. So, you know, you kind of end of the day, you think about, oh, this was hard work, that was hard, this didn't go well, or whatever it might be. And that, you know, that's going to happen. Obviously, that's fine.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's really, really relevant, actually. And so thank you for that. I'm glad, like I said, the whole premise of this video podcast is, you know, it's about you teaching me, and obviously, hopefully, people listening, straight watching will kind of get some benefit from that as well. So that's definitely helped me. That's good. No, that's really good. So another thing I was going to ask you about, obviously we could talk about the importance of growth and almost how you do that. What about having a mentor or a coach? And obviously this is what you do, so you know, I would obviously expect you to be pro this, but you know, I guess why is it important to have, and maybe actually important to kind of talk about the difference between mentoring and coaching people first, and then kind of how important it is to have someone alongside you on that journey.
Yeah. Well, mentor, so the difference, really, in my understanding of the difference, is a mentor is somebody who shows you, well, I've done this, so why don't you, you know, you might want to try this. So you've done it before. And the other, and a coach is somebody really who helps you come up with the solutions yourself. But a coach is somebody who holds you accountable. And that's why I think we all need a coach, really, if we want to grow. Because we, to be blunt, human beings are lazy. That's what we are. And we're lazy because it saves us energy. Your brain wants you to develop habits. It wants you to go onto autopilot because it saves it so much energy. You just do those things. But it's easy to just carry on doing those things. And it's also easy to say, I want to have that, and I want to have that, and to come up with all the reasons why you don't do it. So I'm too busy is the easiest excuse and the most overused and pathetic reason why people say they don't do something.
Guilty.
So I don't see, when people work with me, I don't allow reasons, we ban them. So there's no reasons allowed. And not having enough time is absolutely not a reason, because what it is, you're just lying to yourself. And a coach is somebody who will hold you to account. You say you're going to do something, you go back to your coach and you either say, look, I couldn't do it, can you help me? Or you do it and you think, I've got my meeting with my coach, so I know I've got to do it. So that's how a coach can help you. And we all need it because we are just human. And if we really want, you know, for anything, it's like, that's why top athletes need coaches, because I think, oh, it's raining today, I don't want to go outside or whatever. You know, they're human too. So they need a coach to help them get out of their comfort zone and push themselves. I consider myself a mixture of things. So I love teaching, but I love coaching, because when you're coaching and you see somebody have that light bulb moment and they come up with the solution, that is just like pure joy, really. And I love to mentor too. So I consider myself a teacher, coach, and a mentor.
I think it's really interesting though, you kind of have mentioned it, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, is kind of around sport, actually. I think, and I've got this theory that sports, probably because of the money involved and all that kind of thing, is so far ahead of most other aspects of life in terms of getting the best out of people, and that performance. And, you know, it kind of came a few years ago at the British cycling team, the 1% stuff, the things that make the difference. And that's kind of when you were talking about coaching there, having a coach yourself, that it kind of resonated with me, actually. That is one of those 1%ers to an extent, the difference between something and something else. And that seems to be, I think there's a world, and I personally like to listen to high performers in the sporting world, because I think they've got a lot of things a lot of us could learn from.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And in life generally, we are, in a way, it's a crying shame, I think, that we just settle for less than we are capable of. And we are so amazing. We've got so much potential, but we use so little of it. You know, when I was a kid, it always stayed with me. And I was like, my teacher wrote in my school report, Roz is extremely intelligent, but knowing this will settle for less than her best. And I was like horrified about that. And so it's a sort of mission, if you like, that I want to help people to do the opposite of that, actually to strive for the best that they can be, because it's amazing what we can achieve. And that's what top athletes do. You don't need to be a top, you know, it's not, maybe that's not your bag, but in business, we can come up with these amazing ideas and actually go for it, and just surround ourselves with great people who will help us do that. So,
yeah, I think it's important. These type of things, to me, of, you know, like, historically it was, especially in the kind of business world, it was always basically how work as hard as possible was the thing that was going to make you succeed. And there's obviously an extent of that in just, and we talk about sport or business, you've got to work hard and that's fine. But I think these type of things is where that, you know, the phrase work smart, not hard, kind of, actually what it means is that this type of thing, it's not about, and again, growth and succeeding doesn't mean in a business terms, you know, having a multi-million pound business, it's getting to where you want to get to, and everyone will have different goals, and there's no right, I'm massive on that. I don't think there's any right or wrong goals and things. It's what you want from life. Some people want to rule the world, and good for them, go for it. And other people just want to do something else and want to see work as a byproduct for the rest of life. And again, it's all fine. I think that's something that maybe we don't think of too much when we talk about, again, growth. We maybe, I know, as soon as I say the word, then I know, like, this natural, this thing of big and succeeding in that type of thing automatically comes in my mind, even though I'm saying the opposite.
Yeah. It does. It's just because that's how we've been. It's just part of our culture, isn't it, to think that way. But, you know, growth is like, when people come to me, they've got a great business, and they're maybe having problems with their team, and it's because they've built their business over time, but they haven't, and they're good at what they do, but they haven't, they're not a good leader, they're not a good manager. And so sometimes growth is about them learning about their communication style, learning to lead their team better so they can delegate more to help their team grow. And they get to maybe spend more time with their kids or take up more golf or whatever it is they want to do. But they're growing as a human being because they're learning these amazing people skills. So there's all, as you say, there's all kinds of different ways that we can grow. It's not necessarily about expanding into a multi-million, you know, whatever, you know, or global business. It's just about whatever it is that you need that's going to help you achieve what you want, but also what you're capable of, which is sometimes a bit different.
Yeah, I don't know if you listen to the high performance podcast, which I really enjoy. I like the line that they often use. You know, high performance is not about what is it? It's about high happiness, essentially. Yes. To paraphrase, and that I think that's very, very relevant for this. Yeah. The thing I just wanted to touch on, you kind of touched on it a few minutes ago, was around accountability. I think especially, again, when you run your own business, you know, most people probably come from some sort of corporate world or work for a business where you've had a boss, basically, and that's your accountability often, isn't it? You know, whether it's a daily, weekly, monthly thing. Yeah. All of a sudden you get thrust into this world where you're not accountable to anybody. And that can be a challenge, I think, consciously or subconsciously. So now, how important do you think, accountability, whether it's a coach or just another person for people?
Yeah, it's critical, isn't it? It's critical. It's like you say you're going to do something, so you've got to do it. And as I said earlier, it's easy. If there's nobody to hold you accountable, it's easy not to do that thing, you know, to pull the duvet back over your head or whatever it is. So it is absolutely critical. Even if it's just, you know, as a buddy that you commit to doing and the buddy can check up on you, that you actually have to say it out in the world somewhere to, I'm going to commit to this, whatever. Could be big, could be small, whatever. But when you commit to it, you've then got to do it to hold yourself accountable. But it doesn't have to be a coach, but it's somebody. There's a guy, Marshall Goldsmith, actually, he's an author. He calls himself the world's number one executive coach. And I was lucky enough to spend a 2-day workshop with him. And he taught this thing where wherever he is in the world, probably isn't travel as much as he used to, but at the end of every day, he has his checklist, you know, big on checklists, and he goes through all these things that he commits to on a daily basis, and he scores himself on how well he did against each of these things, and he sends it off to his PA. That's his accountability. Like, did I do these things? And at the end of every day, he will hold himself accountable. So that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And kind of on that, so I mentioned earlier about running a marathon. When I first decided to do it, that's what I did. I basically plastered it all over social media and told everyone I was doing it before I'd even really thought about how the bloody hell I'm going to work out how to do this thing. And because I knew that once I've done that and I know kind of my personality, I will do it if I do that. And I think, I know that's kind of a relatively extreme example, but you know, you'd have to shout it to the world, but just tell a few people, one person, it's that accountability, isn't it? So final question for me, Ros, before we wrap up is, obviously we've talked kind of a lot about change and growth, but if someone's listening to this who kind of has made the decision from this discussion, look, I want to change, I want to get better, I want to grow, and obviously that whatever that means to them, it means to them, what kind of first things would you say to them to start doing? What should they do to, it's like anything, you've got to take that first step. We talked about earlier, that small steps. What would be the first small step to move in that right direction?
Well, I'm all about goal achievement. So I would ask that person, what's their goal? What's the outcome they want? So we need to have some kind of motivational goal that's going to help us get out of, you know, you've got to overcome all that inertia, all that fear and all that, you know, all that just holding ourselves small. We've got to get over that. So you've got to have a motivational goal. So your motivational goal was to win a marathon. And I don't know, you must have had a reason for doing that, but there was a goal and it was going to keep you motivated. So that's the first step, is to find yourself the goal. So it could be, okay, I want to set up a business, or it could be, I want to find employment for so many people, or do something good in the local community. Whatever your goal is, start with that, and then you can work out what you have to do to achieve that goal. But that's the first thing.
Absolutely. And then start that first step. So I guess it's like anything, the hardest thing is to get going with it. The first thing, and that's the hard, which is made that first step. Nothing's easy, but it's easier once you can't do anything without doing the first step, I guess.
No.
Perfect, Ros. Thank you. It's got a lot of me to think about for a start, which is kind of the whole point of this for me, and hopefully people listening. I'm sure there's people have taken a lot from that. So if anyone wants to find out a little bit more about you and what you do and everything like that, where's the best places to go and find you?
Yes, so the best place at the moment right now actually is on my LinkedIn. Just go to my LinkedIn profile, find out more. or give me a call. Give me my contact details are on there, so you can follow up with me. My email or my phone. But yeah, check out my LinkedIn.
Perfect, Ros. Thank you. And what we'll do as well is, obviously, people watching, whether you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be in the notes underneath as well. We'll put all Ros's details on the podcast platforms as well. We'll put a link to the LinkedIn page and everything else, so they can find you through there. And failing that, for whatever reason you can, please do feel free to contact me or the Northern Affinity, and we'll point you towards Ros and be able to set up those chats and find out more. Because as you probably can tell, and I'm a big fan of the kind of stuff you do, Ros, and for me, I think it's so important. And if you can get as many of these things right as possible, it makes a difference.
Yeah. So, thanks.
Thank you very much for your time, Ros. I really, really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.